You're driving home with Sly and the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. Donald Trump obviously speaking tonight in prime time. Everybody's waiting breathlessly to see what the Donald has to say. He's not a particularly good speaker, and I can't imagine this format working well for him. He just learned to use a teleprompter, so I'm not sure what to expect tonight. But there's some other things going on. The other night, Ron Johnson, our U.S. Senator, senior U.S. Senator, spoke at the convention. Your thoughts on that, Scott Ross from One Wisconsin Now.
Oh, here's the thing. I flipped around to four different networks, and it wasn't covered live. I heard like the last like 30 seconds of it because I found like the RNC channel on cable. But from all the reports, it was the same kind of garbage he's been saying. You know, I'm the one who gets under Hillary Clinton's skin. You know, Benghazi. You know, I am the foreign policy guru, not the Secretary of State. It's just sort of, and it's interesting. I wonder if the egg that he laid is why the Koch brothers just yanked their $2 million TV buy.
Well, he went after Russ Feingold again on the Patriot Act. He didn't use the words Patriot Act, but he implied somehow that Russ Feingold doesn't want to give law enforcement the tools to fight terrorism, when Feingold has been paying attention to this and actually wrote a book about how we need to stay on top of this type of thing. But it appears as though, much like Mark Newman back in 1998, used the description of a late-term abortion procedure, yes, for shock value, that Ron Johnson's commercials and Ron Johnson's behavior is, I'm going to shock and scare as many people as I can into thinking irrationally.
Yes, and I would say this is the reason they're not using the words Patriot Act is because the Patriot Act is a negative action. People view the Patriot Act negatively because it's been a total and complete infringement on our rights, and it hasn't done anything. You know, that's the challenge. But that's, it's sort of the disconnect between what somebody says and what the actual record is. And Ron Johnson, he couldn't hit the truth if it was water and he was, falling out of a boat. You know, and so I think that's, what's happening. You know, the one independent has decided it's not going to do the buy that it had planned for, September and October. And, now the Koch brothers have yanked $2 million off the air that they were planning on spending. And it's because Ron Johnson, they have to, the public polls are one thing, but I'm sure the internals are probably even worse for Ron Johnson because it's not happening for him.
Obviously, the composite of the electorate is different, but it seems as though Ron Johnson isn't getting much defense from his Republican colleagues. He seems to have angered everyone.
Yeah, I think he's, the northern Ted Cruz.
Northern Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz is a little smarter than Ron Johnson.
Well, I would say, yes, absolutely. But, what you're seeing is that presidential turnout races are always higher. It's about a 50% increase here in the state of Wisconsin. Democrats have not lost a U.S. Senate race held in a presidential election year since 1980. If you're supporting the Democrats and you're supporting Russ Feingold, obviously you have to remain vigilant. You got to do your work because otherwise they'll come and take it. And I think there's a motivation. I mean, when all the stuff was going on with, the Hillary people and the Bernie people and a lot of fighting and people say, and the Bernie people saying they would stay home if Bernie wasn't their nominee here in the state of Wisconsin, I think that a lot of that is, has fallen off the wayside. But those folks are going to come out and vote for Russ Feingold. I don't know, maybe you disagree, but I tend to think that there is a motivation to take back what was stolen from progressives.
Well, it looks like Bernie Sanders is going to be making a number of appearances in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He is obviously very popular here. So when these outside groups place a buy for $2 million, and this is a Koch-funded group, is this all the result of Citizens United?
Basically what Citizens United did was it said that you could use corporate donations, like a 501c4, which is a non-stock corporation, you could use that money to do direct express advocacy, vote for, vote against. You know, as opposed to like the, hey, you know, the Ishmore issue advocacy, which is like, you know, Ron Johnson doesn't think you should be able to refinance your student loans like you can a mortgage. Call Ron Johnson and tell him he's wrong. You know, or we need student loan reform. Like, that's a kind of an issue ad. Basically, what Citizens United did was say you could do express advocacy. That's what the really big thing was with it. And so I'm not sure what, I don't know what the, I don't have an, I saw, what I saw was, you know, I mean, I saw that deluge of Americans for Prosperity ads. Every time I turned on my computer, I'd see that spinning, you know, lake and or river and Ron Johnson standing up for us because I guess he wants polluters to have whatever they want. So I don't know if this is an outgrowth of Citizens United, that specific organization, Freedom Partners.
Let me ask you this. So the Republican Senate campaign has also pulled back their pie.
Yes.
For Ron Johnson.
Yes.
We have Charlie Sykes not pushing for Donald Trump. Do you get the feeling that there's this could change these types of things with Johnson sinking, at least at this point, and what's going on in the presidential race, that the Republicans in the legislature are pretty frightened? And by the way, one of the funnier sights was while Ron Johnson was speaking, they did a cutaway to the audience, and Robin Voss was ignoring him. He was texting on his cell phone.
I mean, it just depends. You know, the thing is that in 2012, there was, you know, Barack Obama won by 220,000 votes, and we elected Tammy Baldwin, the U.S. senator, the state of Wisconsin did. But the state legislature, you know, did not farewell. So, you know, I think that, you know, obviously Voss changed a lot of the campaign finance laws to benefit his majority and Fitz's majority. So I think that it's going to come down to whether or not the people who want to be state legislators on the Democratic side are doing their work and raising money, you know, and the incumbents are raising money. And I look at the finance reports and I think some of it's appalling. Long-standing, I mean, they're all basically in safe districts at this point. So if you're not raising money to try and get more of your colleagues, I think you're committing a moral wrong. You know, because again, like what it comes down to is, can you legislate? Can you create a chamber that stops what the Republicans are doing? Or can you seize two chambers and maybe get the governorship back in 2018 to actually pass your agenda? And if you're not interested in doing that, you know, if you're just going to sit on your laurels, you know, you got a safe seat, you don't matter, I'm not going to raise money, I'm not going to help the cause, like, you know, get the hell out of here.
Well, there is some of that going on. We've talked about that before. Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. Tommy Thompson yesterday delivered quite a blow to Scott Walker, talking about the Scott Walker can say that he's running for re-election all he wants. Anyone that he knows that runs with a 35% approval rating loses. Scott Walker shot back saying that his approval rating was better than Donald Trump's or Hillary Clinton's.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a little fracas. But that's always existed between the Tommy people and the Walker people. Because, you know, remember, Walker was a backbencher in the assembly. You know, he was the corrections chair, but that was just a conduit to, you know, build more prisons for Tommy. You know, that's the thing, and I think that, you know, given what's happened, you know, what's basically happened is that they've altered the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin and nationally as well, but from a party that, you know, with Tommy Thompson where, hey, let's build things to help the economy, and Scott Walker's is, well, how can I enrich my donors and how can I, you know, punish my enemies? Not to say that Tommy wasn't about getting enrichment from folks in which he provided state largesse to. Let us not kid ourselves for 1 minute on that. But they just operate in two different worlds. And I think the overall thing, and this is one of the things that I think is so important, when we talk about whether or not we want to continue these kinds of policies that Scott Walker and the Republicans have put into place, it's not the corruption, Sly. It is not the cronyism. It is the incompetence. Scott Walker cannot run government. We saw this when he was the county executive, and we now see this in the state of Wisconsin. You know, we weren't last in the Midwest in job creation under Tommy or under Doyle or even under Scott McCallum for those 30 seconds. We are under Scott Walker. Scott Walker has a Republican legislature that does whatever he wants, and what they have done has failed Wisconsin. They are incompetent.
it appears as though he's going to run for re-election. And
it's... what else is he going to do, Sly? He doesn't know how to do anything else. The guy has been, you know, his first year in office was Brett Favre's first full season with the Packers. That's how long Scott Walker, I mean, he's a lifelong politician. And you know that from today. I mean, you know, Walker was on Sykes this morning, you know, talking to Sykes saying he wished that Ted Cruz had chosen different words. Like, he's all in because he knows that, you know, whether they win or lose, you know, if the Republicans lose a presidential election, it's not like in 2020 they're going to be like, oh, we shouldn't do anything because, you know, we lost under Donald Trump. Nobody's going to remember that in the Republican. They're going to remember who was standing up for Republicans and who wasn't. And Scott Walker knows what, you know, where his bread is buttered. And so he's out there saying, you know, right now he is in the moment. We need to elect a Republican president. That Republican president is Donald Trump.
He has said he won't run for president if he runs for re-election as governor. Do you believe him?
Absolutely not. Every time Scott Walker has been asked a question about his political future, he has lied about it. Everything from when he was county executive, he said he wouldn't run for a second, for a third term. He ran for a third term. You know, when he was running for in 2014, my intent is to be the governor for the next 4 years. An utter and complete lie. The guy polled 2 weeks after his inauguration, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks after he won over Mary Burke in November 2014. You know, the guy says over and over again, I'm not guided by the polls. That's what he said in response to the Tommy stuff. He spent $1.5 million since 2009 just in his state account on polling. This guy, you cannot believe a thing that he says, particularly when it comes to himself.
Well, now, you know, let's leave on a positive note. We have some consistency there.
Yes. Scott Walker's moral, the consistency in which he lies to the people of Wisconsin is impressive sociopathy, if you ask me.
Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now. Thanks for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure.
You be well, Sly.
All right, this is Sly on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. And we're back on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. The final stretch here, Scott Ross from One Wisconsin Now. Scott, good afternoon.
How are you today?
Well, I'm great. I can't tell you how thrilling television was last night. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It was. It continues to be a show that is so hard to watch, yet so hard to turn off.
Correct. Much like a car accident.
Yes. Oh. Yes, indeed.
Well, let's start out with Scott Walker. Did you see his speech?
Oh, indeed I did.
Uh-huh.
I did. And after hearing from a number of salesmen, including, I guess what, that woman who runs a pyramid scheme for selling vitamins and other things, and Walker coming out there with his little microphone, I thought he was going to suddenly tell me how electing Donald Trump would help me lose those last 20 unwanted pounds.
You're going to have to refresh my memory because I've killed more brain cells than you have. Although we're in contest here.
Yeah, we are definitely in a contest.
Okay. Didn't he a couple years ago spend a day being interrogated by the district attorney, having to do with just out and out law breaking in his county executive's office?
What? Well, yeah, I mean, he spent his entire first term under criminal investigation for impropriety of both his former government office as well as the allegations of collusion coordination with his campaign and so-called independent groups. And the only reason that's done is because Walker's Supreme Court, ended the investigation. That's being appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. But, that's the only reason the investigation was stopped, because of partisan hacks on the Wisconsin Supreme Court who are in the pocket of WMC and Scott Walker and Club for Growth, who just, you know, happened to rule in favor of a way in which Club for Growth and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Scott Walker were gleeful.
Well, it's certainly not a great chapter in Secretary Clinton's career, the way she handled this email situation. But this whole notion of lock her up, are they literally going to insult the FBI and one of the most honest, decent people, fair people in the whole wide world? Are they really honestly going to do that
for the rest of
this campaign?
I don't think they care. I think their notion is like they will burn this village to try and save it. And by trying to save it, it means trying to make Donald Trump our next president of the United States. It helps that, you know, the machine has been fighting against, you know, the Clintons since I was in college, you know, in the early 90s.
But they always overreach. You know, the Clintons have made some very poor choices at times, and yet they always overreach. They always turn it into something criminal, or they accuse them of murder.
Murder, yes.
Right.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, Pat Robertson was accusing Clinton of being a drug dealer and a murderer, you know, for years and years and years. What it is in particular, and I don't, you know, listen, I'm a student of media, and I used to work for a right-wing newspaper. Okay?
The one in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Oh.
For the editorial page. But what I will say is this, that there is a difference in the way that the media covers what Republicans have to say about the criminality of Democrats versus what Democrats have to say about the corruption of Republicans. And for the Clintons, there is no better example. In terms of just, you know, what is a, and listen, I'm not going to defend everything the Clintons do, and that ain't my job. But what I will say is this, is that the idea that we have, you know, that we have spent the last several years on things like these emails, when in fact, of course, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell did the same, you know, the same thing. And this notion of the Benghazi, when how many different embassy deaths and such occurred under the watches of Republican administrations, you know, this is the way in which this modern Republican machine operates, and we know better than in the midst of an economic 9/11, when Barack Obama was being inaugurated on the 20th of January 2009, that Paul Ryan and his co-conspirators were saying, we don't care if the economy collapses. We don't care if people lose their homes. We don't care if the future of this country is compromised. We are going to say no to everything, but because it helps us try and block what they're doing so that we can say inaction, we need action, elect Republicans. And it is exactly what happened.
Well, looking at what Scott Walker said about Clinton, essentially about her, you know, coming so close and locking her up,
yes,
and all his wonderful quotes, I think about the man that he was testifying for and telling the American people to vote for. He said sort of an on and off again relationship with Donald Trump over the years. Donald Trump certainly gave him money during the recall.
Well, he gave him the maximum contribution allowed by law in his 2014 election. And he also gave Club for Growth during the recall $15,000.
Yeah, and he's no friend of workers. That is absolutely true. But you look at what Donald Trump has been involved with and how he's been investigated. You think of the scamming of people with the subprime market and flipping houses.
Yes.
You think of the
Trump University.
You think of using illegal immigrant labor to build Trump Tower. You think of his relationship with the mob in New York, and it's like, really? You're gonna paint Hillary as the dishonest one in this race? All things being relative, neither of them are paragons of virtue, but I don't think anybody's even in Donald Trump's league.
Well, I think this too. I mean, you know, the best picture that I saw out of the convention on the sort of the Twitters and the Facebooks yesterday was a picture of Rebecca Clayfish with the Attorney General of Florida, Pam Bondi, who spoke last night. Pam Bondi, you know, and they were like, hey, we're besties. Pam Bondi stopped the investigation of Trump University while she was personally soliciting $25,000, which she received from Donald Trump.
Nice.
You know, Pam Bondi, you know, she delayed an execution so that she could go to a fundraiser. I mean, these are the people, this circle of, you know, of extremists, of criminals who are surrounded with this modern Republican Party post the Tea Party electoral waves, is insane. And what you see exactly, you know, they have reaped what they sow, you know, which is what you saw, I think, last night and the first night. You know, from everything from this big floor fight that happened, accusations of rigging the electoral stuff, to Melania Trump's borrowing Michelle Obama's words without attribution to the, you know, and this is the one that really frosted my rather large posterior, was after the Melania Trump thing happened. And let us not kid ourselves, Sly. If our African-American first lady had cribbed the words of Laura Bush, can you utterly imagine?
No, I can't.
That the explosion, literally, everybody's computer in America would have exploded. Everybody's television would have exploded. So the next night they go and they have Donald Trump's son deliver a speech, and lines from Donald Trump's son's speech were taken from a written piece by some business writer. Okay? So the Daily Show tweets that out and they say, oh my God, this is plagiarism. They've done it again. The author of those report, the author of the piece says, no, it's not plagiarism. I gave those to Donald Trump Jr. I'm working, I helped write his speech. Now, Sly, I know it was a long time ago, but let us go back to late September 2014 here in the great state of Wisconsin. And a candidate running against Scott Walker was accused of having passages from her jobs plan lifted from previous jobs plans. And it turned out that the consultant who helped write the jobs plan had written these other jobs plans and included some stuff that had been in the previous plans. We had every single reporter in the state of Wisconsin writing the words Mary Burke plagiarist for weeks and weeks. We had Scott Walker up on television with ads about Mary Burke being a plagiarist. And there is not one story in the media, despite a dozen reporters being out there, that has covered this at all. And it is exactly how the rules for Democrats do not apply to the rules for Republicans.
Well, plus, you know, a speech to a convention is a little different than when you put something like a jobs plan together. A lot of people cut and paste from other ideas. That I'm not sure there is an original idea for jobs plans anymore. That said, obviously, there should have been some attribution, but you're right. That was,
you know, I know that it is tough. I know that it is hard work when our state press corps is covering national events to, you know, build in extra time after all the Paul Ryan stenography in order to write about what's actually going on. And I just think that's an enormous fail. It's been going on for the whole of Paul Ryan's career, and I have simply had enough of it.
It was very rich last night to hear Ted Cruz talk about how wrong outsourcing is when his wife is part of Goldman Sachs, and he's always voted and supported free trade. It was rich to hear which speaker was talking about the party of Lincoln. I can't remember which was talking about the party of Lincoln, but they're running an...
You mean Lincoln, the party of Lincoln Savings and Loan?
Well, they're running an overt racist.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. Overt. I mean, what I enjoyed was the whole, you know, just the Ted Cruz going in and basically taking a dump on the convention. And I don't know, I'm sure this morning you were glued to your radio or television watching the Morning Joe show. But I happened to be driving into work, and I have, you know, satellite radio, so I was listening. And they were broadcasting a speech that Ted Cruz was giving to the Texas delegation this morning. And it was amazing. He totally doubled down on what he was saying, which is basically, you know, I'm going to do what I want. You can't do anything about it. And even though I'm fighting in the face of facts, I'm right. Doesn't that sound like a microcosm for the entire Republican Party?
Well, the other thing that I found remarkable is that Donald Trump doesn't even have the respect for his running mate that he would sit in the convention during Pence's speech. He shows up for a few minutes to watch his son speak, then leaves, creates a distraction, and leaves once again his running mate to follow Ted Cruz just hanging in the breeze.
Yes. But, I mean, he can't help himself. I mean, that's the thing about Donald Trump. I mean, he's like, and I've worked with candidates before, or not so much. I haven't had that bad experience, but I've worked with enough people who've had the experience. They work with cancer elected officials where, like, they're saying, okay, we're going to have this interview. This is what it is. This is the one thing you don't want to say. And then they go out and say it, you know? Like, the one thing you're not supposed to say, you should go out and say. And Trump revels in that. I mean, he's like a child when it comes to that. He's like, how can I, you know, how can I knock this pie onto the ground?
I would say, I would take that qualifier away. I think he's like a child would probably just suffice.
Yeah.
We'll talk more with Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.